Take your Bibles this morning and go to James chapter number 5, James chapter number 5. And I mentioned that I'm going to preach a little bit about the new year. Here we are, the very first Sunday of a brand new year, and I've named the message, How to Plan for the New Year. How to Plan for the New Year. And I believe in planning. I'll talk about that in just a minute. I believe in having a plan. I believe that we ought to redeem the time. I believe that we ought to live very purposefully. And I think there's many, many Bible verses that will support that. But at the same time, James chapter 5 gives us a perspective and a balance as we look into the new year and as we plan what God wants us to do. I believe James chapter number 4, verse 13. I believe James gives us a perspective and a balance when it comes to planning the new year, which I think we ought to do, and being presumptuous about the new year. And so James chapter 4, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such, think about that. All such rejoicing is, boy, what a powerful word here, is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Lord, thank you for the reading of the scriptures. Lord, I pray that you'd open our minds and our hearts this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I examine a portion of scripture like this. When I come to a portion of scripture like this, I like to do it almost like a detective. I like to ask certain questions about it so that I make sure that I'm properly interpreting it. The first question I ask a lot of times is, who specifically is this written to? And, you know, if we go back to the very first verse in James, first two verses of the book of James, verse number 2, "My brethren." And so we know that this portion of scripture is not written necessarily to a lost world who are being presumptuous in their planning. You know what that tells me? Christians could end up being presumptuous. Amen. And so this is written to Christian people. Now we're going to address the lost here towards the end of the message. But this morning's message and this portion of scripture is written to believers. But not just any believer. Notice what it says in verse 13, "Go to now, ye that say." Now, wait a minute, so let's stop. Okay, so he's not just addressing all Christians. He's given a warning to people who say a certain thing a certain way. "Ye that say, go to now, ye that say." Well, let's figure out what they're saying, and then we'll know whether or not, is this me that he's talking to? Is this me that needs to be warned about presumption? Is this me that's not planning with the right mindset and not including God in those plans? So he says, "Go to now, ye that say." Okay, so let's listen to what they're going to say. He's going to quote them, "Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." So, okay, who is this talking to? It's talking to Christian people. It's talking to believers, born-again believers. But they are saying something. What are they saying? They're saying this: "Let me tell you when I will go." Now, think about the when, the where, the how. Look at this. He said, "Today or tomorrow." That's the when. You know what I'm going to do today? You know what I'm going to do tomorrow? You know what we're going to do this weekend? Hey, you know what we got planned in February? You know what we got planned in March? Did I tell you about the trip we're going to take in April, you know? And so the when, "Let me tell you when I will go. And by the way, let me tell you where," because he says today or tomorrow, that's a specific time, "we will go into such a city." So the location is very specific. I'm going to go at this time and I'm going to go to this place. And again, you may think preachers should, Well, should we even have a church calendar? Should we be planning anything? You're always talking about your day planner and all of that. We'll get to that in just a minute, okay? But he's saying, now listen, this is when I'm going to go. This is where I'm going to go. And then he says this, let me tell you how long I will stay. Today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year. So, you know, all of a sudden, sounds like this Christian has their plan all set. And they know when they're going to go, and they know where they're going to go, and they've already determined how long they're going to stay. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm already thinking to myself about things that I was, you know what, pretty adamant about and pretty sure about, and probably maybe even took on a little bit of this kind of a tone about that I thought I was going to accomplish. Hey, folks, remember 2020? Let me tell you something about 2020. I had the most awesome spring attendance campaign that was going to set records at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I mean, it was probably the most aggressive, the most exciting. I mean, it was the most courageous thing we've done in some time. I couldn't wait to launch it. I couldn't wait to talk about it. And all of a sudden, this crazy thing called COVID hit. And I still got that incredible spring program back in a file back there somewhere. And, you know, I mean, we're going to do this on the first Sunday of April. We're going to do this on the second Sunday of April. We're going to do this on the third Sunday of April. And you know what? I think we all learned a lesson, because all of our plans got affected. Everybody's plans got disrupted. And all of a sudden, it was like God said, hey, let me give even you Christians a reminder. Anytime you plan something, and again, I'll say in a minute, show you in the Bible, this is not talking about not planning for the future. This is talking about an attitude. This is talking about being presumptuous. I mean, folks, you survive 2020, and then we get into 2022, and you know what? Well, I've got this planned, and I've got that planned, and, you know, here at the church, we have a lot of exciting things going on, and then, you know what, me and my wife are going to take a little trip, and we do, and we come back from it, and all of a sudden, you know, I get back in August, and I've been dealing with abdominal pain, and I've got the whole fall planned, folks, and I've got into the next year planned, and things that I'm going to go do, and places I'm going to go, and when I'm going to go, and how I'm going to go, and what I plan to accomplish. And all of a sudden, you sit in a doctor's office, and somebody, you know, looks at you and says the C word. And you know what? Almost everything on my calendar in the next 6 months just evaporated. And again, are you sorry that you planned it? No, I'm not sorry. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. I think it's good to plan for a new year. I think it's evil. That's what the Bible says, so I've got to say it. I think it's evil to be presumptuous about our plans. And so he says, let me tell you when I'm going to go. Let me tell you where I will go. Let me tell you how long I will stay. Let me tell you what I will do. I'm going to buy and I'm going to sell. And by the way, let me tell you how things are going to turn out. I'm going to get great gain. Now, folks, it's not just what he said here. Jump down in verse number 16. Okay, we just looked at what do they say, but then how are they saying it? In verse number 16, but now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. And again, it's perfectly fine to have a church calendar, but you know what? There's a little phrase that we all better learn to say as we're looking towards the future, and it's found in verse number 15, but that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. And I'll tell you, after I went through 2020, and after I went, I was raised in a home where mom and dad learned early in their Christian life to say, Lord willing. Right. That was a phrase that was used in our house on just about everything that was talked about if it had to do with the future. So it's not like I was ignorant of it. But when you literally have to experience that in 2020 with COVID, in 2022 with cancer, and all of a sudden all of these things that I thought I was going to do, it really hits a reset button in your life. And, you know, everything that I'm planning for 2025, and I've got some exciting plans. I've got some things here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I can't wait. But you know what? If the Lord is willing. If the Lord is willing. I've got a couple. I'm going to go out with our teens to teen camp this year out in Oklahoma. And they're crazy enough Crazy enough, they're at Calvary Ministries to schedule Joel Haynes and Jerry Ross the same week to preach to a whole gymnasium full of teenagers. And you don't know, every time I look at that, how excited I am. And by the way, is there anything wrong with putting it on the calendar? No. But you know what I've said ever since they've called and asked? Well, Lord willing. All right, pencil me in. Because, you know, I don't know. You say, preacher, it's because you don't have the certainty you used to as far as knowing your future because of your health status. Folks, it doesn't matter whether you have cancer or not. No, none of us know what the future is going to hold. You know, I said something about that. I would talk to lost people at some point. And, you know, I've listened to lost folks put off salvation, and it scares me. I mean, I'm talking about people that down deep know they need to get saved, and they've been witnessed to. And it's not like they don't have an understanding that they need to be saved. They have an understanding of how to be saved. And then they tend to give you this. Have you ever heard it? Well, I'm just not ready yet. I'm just not ready yet. And boy, I'm going to tell you what. You talk about being presumptuous. You know, folks, Jesus Christ could come back. He could come back before this sermon's over. And then you're left here to go through the 7-year tribulation period and all of that. Or, you know, none of us is promised tomorrow. You know, I don't know whether I'll get home or not. None of us in this room knows whether or not we'll get home or not. None of you sitting at home knows whether or not you'll still be alive at midnight. You're a preacher. Well, I'm just saying this. When it comes to salvation, don't put it off. Don't be presumptuous about, well, I'll get saved when I'm ready to. Well, you may or you may not. You may not have the opportunity. And so how do they say it? They say it in boasting. Boy, I listen to the lost world. And again, I'll get back to preaching to Christians. But I listen to a lost world boast a lot. The arrogancy of, I'm going to live my life this way, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. And a lot of the things they're boasting about is wickedness and evil, and we're going to go do this. Listen, I say this from time to time. You won't take your next breath if God doesn't let you, and neither will I. And so, you know, what we ought to do is keep a humility about us because, yes, God wants us to plan. God wants us to redeem the time. God wants us to, you know what, evangelize the world. And that takes organization and that takes planning and that's all good stuff. But you know what? Let's just remember as we're going to 2025, let's just kind of resurrect that little phrase in our life and our family and our individual life. Hey, Lord willing, you know. And so think about that, all right? So be careful. Be care. How do they say it? Boasting. How do they say it? Rejoicing in their boasting. Let's schedule our lives. I believe in living by a schedule, but let's not do it presumptuously. You know, one of the things, even every day when me and my wife, the evening before we go to bed, we kind of go over the things we need to accomplish the next day. It's kind of the last conversation we'll have before we go to bed. I like waking up with a plan. I don't like waking up and trying to come up with a plan, okay? I'm not a morning person, so I better wake up knowing what I'm going to start in on. And, you know, so I'm all for that. I think we ought to have a plan. But, you know, there's also something about including the Lord, and there's also something about being flexible with your plans. Because I may have these things planned, and the Holy Spirit might all of a sudden just in the middle of the day say, you know what you need to do? You need to lay this aside, this next thing on the list, and you need to go over here and you need to do this. You need to visit this person. You need to visit that person, okay? I mean, at midnight last night, folks, it wasn't in my plan to have to go meet the Maoris at the hospital, but Lord, if the Lord wills, whatever he needs, whatever, always be at the beckoning call of the Spirit of God. I think sometimes success-oriented Christians get to the point where they can just schedule God right out of their lives. Okay, and we stop allowing the Holy Spirit to be that one that directs us. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. He can direct us when we're having the conversation. Come on, I'm including him on the evening before. But at the same time, during the course of the day, God might change something. And if he changes something, listen to him. Okay, he knows what's going on better than we do. He knows what I need to accomplish today better than I know. He knows what needs to be accomplished in 2025 in our lives more than any of us do. And so, you know, schedule. I'll sit here and say, schedule life and live by schedule. But don't schedule God out of it. Be flexible to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, don't be presumptuous in planning trips that you may not take. Now, it's okay to plan trips, but just remember to say, Lord willing. Don't be presumptuous in planning time that you may not have. That you may not have. And we're going to talk about that when we get down there to verse 17, and we have this kind of conclusion verse. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's kind of warning against this idea of, you know, you need to be doing something today, and you say to yourself, well, I'll put it off till tomorrow. I'll put it off till next week. If God's prompting you to do it today, you don't know whether or not you'll have that same opportunity tomorrow or the next day. So again, let's just include God in our plans. Don't be presumptuous in planning on success that you may not experience. Remember what that person said there. It said, you know what, I'm going to continue there a year and buy and sell. Let me tell you what the result's going to be. I'm going to get gain. And you know what I have learned to say? Let me tell you what the results are going to be. Whatever God gives as the results of it, you know. I think we should worry less about the results and more about the faithfulness. You know, I think we ought to just do what God has told us to do and let the results of all of that take care of itself. And be very careful even again on these. Sometimes, I think if you don't set goals, listen, if you're not shooting for something, you know, then you're probably not going to hit anything. And I'm okay with goals and all of that, but I also don't want to be presumptuous in saying, I'm going to do this and it's going to result in this. No, I'm going to be faithful to God, and whatever God gives, listen, some plant, some water, who gives the increase? God gives the increase. And so, you know what? Let's control what we can control and then trust God to control what he needs to control in our life. So this is not a warning against making future plans. This isn't a warning against scheduling trips or planning to take time or hoping to experience success. It's just a warning about being presumptuous and boastful. When we are talking about the things that we will do or I will do. So why should we guard against being presumptuous? Well, first of all, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. So let's just be reminded of that. That's why in verse number 13, it says, go to now. Go to now. I sat and had coffee real quick, stopped by. Brother Ron Williams wanted one of the devotional books. So, you know, I said, well, let me run it by your house. And you can't get in and out of there without at least a half cup of coffee. Come on, he's a military guy, okay? So he's a Navy guy. You got to drink coffee with him, okay? And so, you know, so we sat there and talked about it a little bit and had coffee, you know, and we talked about, honestly, this very thing. And, you know, we was talking about Cornelia when she was coming back and all of this. And Brother Ron's health isn't really good. And folks, this kind of weather with our folks that have breathing problems, really, they can get themselves in a dangerous situation. And he said, well, Cornelia's going to be back in May. And he said, I just hope I'm still here. And he's just being honest with me a little bit. I'm just kind of hoping I'm still here. And I said, Brother Ron, I don't know whether I'll still be here. And I looked at him and I said this, but I know this, we got today. We got today. God gave us today. And he got a big smile on his face. He said, you're right, preacher. He said, you know, we got to kind of just do this one day at a time, don't we? And I said, go to now. Go to now, ye that will say. And, you know, sometimes I think we're so busy planning for the future that we missed the opportunities right in front of us. Go to now. Think about that little phrase there. That's powerful. Okay, let's spend some time planning. Let's spend some time with all of that. But let's not waste every day of our life looking forward to something that we may or may not even get to do. Let's not let things that are right in front of us and those type of opportunities get away from us. Our life is a vapor. Why should we guard against being presumptuous? Because we do not know what tomorrow will bring, because our life truly is a vapor. And it appears for a short time. And you know, Dad used to use Mom used to make hot tea. She was not a coffee drinker. She liked her hot tea. And, you know, she had the old-fashioned type of a kettle, you know, that you sat there, and then the water gets hot, and then steam starts coming out, and then it causes the kettle to start whistling. I could sit here in my mind and hear that. It's like a familiar growing up sound in my life was Mom's tea kettle pot going off every morning. And She'd let it go off for a while and she'd be busy, and all of a sudden I could tell when she pulled it off the burner and it would go back down, you know. And Dad would talk about watching that steam come out of that, and you know, there it shoots out with such power, and then it gets up just a little distance, then it dissipates, and next thing you know, it's gone. And so his illustration is so much better than mine, because I was thinking of vaping. My dad wouldn't even know what vaping is. I know, but it's in the word, vaping. You know, I thought about Max, he vapes, you know, and I thought, well, you know, but, you know, you see these crazy people that decide, I don't even know how the vape works. I have no idea, except I see people sometimes, they've got this little something, and they suck in this, and then they roll down the windows of their vehicles at a stoplight, and I don't know how much, is that vapor, is that smoke? I don't know what comes out of that car, but it looks like it's on fire, you know, and all of a sudden they will get a big double lung full of that and blow it out the window, and I'm sitting there right behind them watching this, and all this comes flowing out. Oh, wow, impressive, I guess, you know, show off. I don't know why they think that's so impressive, but I'm sitting there thinking as they're blowing that out, and as soon as it hits the air outside of the car, and how quickly all of a sudden, wow, that was a big deal, wasn't it? And the world's living their life like that, folks. Hey, watch this. You know, watch me thumb my nose at God. Watch what I'm going to do. Watch what I believe. Watch how I'm going to live my life. And I thank God in heaven who inhabits eternity. Folks, do you know how short 70 years is compared to eternity? You know how short 100 years is compared to eternity? Eternity, it is like that. And the whole world, I feel like a lot of the wicked world is like vaping in the face of God. And God's looking down and saying, well, you know what? It's going to go quick. And so let's be careful. How do we guard against being presumptuous? We do not know what tomorrow will bring. And so let's not lose track of today and today's opportunity. Our life is a vapor. Number three, the Lord's will should always trump our will. And so that's what it says here in verse 15. What's the conclusion? For that you ought to say. This is what God wants us to learn. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. And Jerry Ross can make a lot of plans. And I mean this. I really try to make sure that all of my plans are within the will of God, something he could be pleased with, not anti-Bible or anti-God's will. But just because it's not wrong doesn't mean that it's what God wants me to do. And sometimes it is my will and not really God's will. And I think God is just reminding every one of us, hey, don't forget that what I need you to do is a lot more important than what you think you need to do. Because, folks, I think the greatest thing we can do on this earth is to find the will of God and do it. And that is unfolded every single day of our life. It's not one big thing. I think it's a thousands of little things. Lord, what is your will for me today? What do you want for me to do today? And yes, we all have responsibilities, and we should. We have the responsibility of getting up and going to work every day and earning a living for our family. I mean, there are certain things that's well within the will of God. But in the course of doing those things, you know, we ought to be very tender to the leading of the Lord as he directs us, and not to miss those little opportunity. And I wrote this down, number four, we need to be very careful of boastful presumptuousness. Boastful presumptuousness, because the Bible says that all such rejoicing is evil. So, preacher, what's the conclusion? Well, let's conclude by looking at verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, look at this, to him it is sin. So he's like, all good. Plan for the future. Get your day planner out. Get your calendars out. You know, as a family, I say, hey, you know what? Put all the church stuff on there. Plan some things for your family. Build some memories for your family. Do all those things. Plan service opportunities. And I don't think God's displeased with any of that, as long as while we're doing that, we just don't miss out what he wants us to do now, today. Go to now, ye that say. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, when? Today, now, to him it is sin. And so I pray that you've already, as a family, kind of planned some things this year. We certainly have exciting things planned here at the church. I've got a couple opportunities on the calendar that is going to be ministry away from here that I'll be honest with you. I mentioned about going to preach with Brother Joel. They're having me back to the Navajo Indian Reservation to do their teen camp this year. I can't even tell you how over the moon I am about that. Say, preacher, when are you going? Well, I think it's in June, Lord willing. I think it's in June, Lord willing. You know, they asked me back to do the Alaska men's retreat. Preacher, you don't even know what the scan is going to show at the end of this month and where you're at. I know. I think we ought to plan as if, you know what, everything's going to be okay, and I'm going to have a plan, and I'm looking forward to it. But you know what? Hey, whatever God allows, I'm going to be satisfied with. And if he lets me do some things this year that's extraordinary, that's great. If he needs me to be in a hospital witnessing to a nurse instead, I can do that too. Whatever the Lord's will is, that's what we want to accomplish. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for just another opportunity to serve you. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord. What an exciting thing. I think first Sunday in January, brand new year, 2025. I can't wrap my brain around it. I can't believe that we've gotten here. And Lord, there is an excitement to all of this. But Lord, we want to just, Lord, be reminded not to be presumptuous. Lord, we understand that ultimately you're in control. And your will is so much more important than anything that we could plan. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd bless and direct each and every member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, everyone that's listening to the message today. I pray, Lord, that you would carefully guide each of their lives as they live this year for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name.